Chairs No Waiting, episode number 682, hearing from you. Two Chairs is brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 682 is Mike McGonigal, and we have the high sheriff of Two Chairs No Waiting for episode number 682, Chris Smurl. So I want to thank both of those fine folks for helping support the podcast, and thank you for being here with me. I want to thank the Mayberry Band for our music. Thank you, boys. Thank you very much. They're not much of a standing still band. They have to be moving to really sound that good. Hello, everybody. I am Alan Newsom, the host of Two Chairs No Waiting, and it is always a pleasure to spend some time just talking about the Andy Griffith Show and visiting with you. This episode is basically, I'm hearing from you. So this is basically a feedback episode. We've got several voicemails, that we're going to play. So we're going to get right into that. Then we're going to play a little bit of Mayberry trivia. And then we're going to hear returning to Mayberry with Spirit Walker. So we've got lots of fun. So let's head on in here. We have got voicemails from folks, I mean, just all over the place. This first one is from Tim. So let me just let him take it away. So Tim, take it away here.
Hey, Alan, this is Tim Jansen. Hello from beautiful Davenport, Iowa. Got a question. I know that some of the outside shots of Andy Griffith's house, or Andy Taylor's house, I should say, has two windows on the second floor. But sometimes they're together, sometimes they're apart. And why would they spend all that money just to change the facade of the house, just leave it alone? So I know there was that one episode where Andy and Gomer, when Gomer was spending the night there because he lost his job at Wally's, they were separated when they had that shot of them talking to each other because they woke up all the neighbors. So just wanted to get a little information on that. If you or the listeners may have some information on that, and I'll look forward to your answer. Thank you very much. God bless.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. Now, here I'm going to make some guesses. So the interior, some of those shots, even when they were exterior of the house, were shot interior inside the sound studio rather than the soundstage, rather than on the lot at 40 acres where Andy's house, the exterior would actually be. So my guess is the reason it kind of varies back and forth, depending on when you're watching, what you're seeing, is because of different times when they were filming. So some of those shots may have well been filmed outside. For instance, when Otis was at the Rock and was having to climb out the window and everything, he may have that was at the 40 acres outside location. So it was Andy's house on the outside. Now, some of these other locations, like you're talking about when Gomer was there, that was probably filmed in the sound studio or the studio itself. I can't give you 100% that's what happened, but that's what I assume happened. And that's why things were often different. Like the Taylor's front porch changed. There were things like that that changed and moved around. Cause I'm pretty sure they probably had a shot of Andy's house or a mock-up of Andy's house in the studio, in the soundstage, as well as the exterior shots you see, that were in 40 acres. So those weren't necessarily tied completely together, and you ended up with these mistakes or bloopers or slight continuity errors. So that's my guess. I can't tell you for sure. If you guys know, if one of you that are listening or watching and have an idea, I'd love to hear from you. You can call in at 888-684-8415 and voice your thoughts about why that might have been. All right, so now let's go and hear from Robert. Robert's got he's got some nice stuff. So let's hear from Robert. This is Robert.
Hey, Alan. This is Robert Hale in Redding, California. I want to say hello. I really enjoy your podcast, and I wanted to share a quick note of information. The other day, I was calling up your podcast on my Apple Music, and all I said was the Andy Griffith Show, and Siri, my AI, played me a song by the duo the Bellamy Brothers, and it was called The Andy Griffith Show by the Bellamy Brothers. I encourage you to listen to the song. It's really, really cool. It talks about Barney and Andy and Opie and Thelma Lou and Aunt Bea and of course, Floyd Barber. And anyway, you'll love it. The Andy Griffith Show, recorded by the Bellamy Brothers, I believe it was recorded in about 1994. Great song. Enjoy your show. Love your podcast. I listen to it every week. Thank you, sir. You're one great man. God bless you. Bye.
Wow. Thank you, Robert. I've got you fooled. I don't know that I'm a great man, but I really do appreciate that. And thanks for listening to the podcast. So the song, yeah, the Bellamy Brothers had a song, and it was actually released back in 1988. It was on a record called Rebels Without a Clue. And there are, you can look it up on YouTube, for instance, and watch it, because there's a YouTube video of the actual song, and you can go and listen to it. It's a great song, by the way. And the Bellamy Brothers, the Andy Griffith Show, it was put out by Curb Records, and it is really a great show. They're great fans of the Andy Griffith Show. They've been members of the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club. They're honorary members. Jim Clark would have to pipe in on that. But yeah, that's definitely a song worth hearing if you have never heard it. I can't play it on the podcast because it's copyrighted. And if I play it, it'll trigger all the copyright warnings on YouTube. So I will leave a link in the show notes to the YouTube video that you can go and listen to, and listen to the song if you'd like to. So you can go there. Okay. And it's an official version. It's released by the Bellamy Brothers on their YouTube channel. So they get money for that. So that's what you want to do. But yeah, thank you very much, Robert. Thanks again for listening. And now let's go here from our trivia expert, Paul Mulick.
Hey, Alan, Paul Mulick again, calling in from Joplin, Missouri. I had an addition I wanted to make to, you were talking about Floyd's family the other day. There's an episode of Gomer Pyle, UMC, where Gomer goes back to Mayberry on leave. And I don't know if you call this official or not, but in that episode, Gomer is told that Floyd has retired and he is living with his daughter, who is separated from her husband. So if you count that as official, we know that Floyd also has a daughter, and I would guess that she would be older than the two boys if she's old enough to be separated from her husband. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in. Also, the son that plays the saxophone, it sounds like Floyd calls him Randall, but in the script, it's actually Randolph. You can't really hear that in the episode. Anyway, keep up the good work. 10-4. Bye.
Okay, so his name's Randolph in the script. It does sound like Randall for sure. So thanks, Paul. Thanks for calling in about that. And Gomer Pyle, yeah, hey, you know, we have to be careful when we're doing our trivia questions that we say it's from the Andy Griffith Show or it's from Andy or Gomer Pyle because of those kind of things. Because there's sometimes somewhat of inconsistencies between the two shows about things like that. I didn't know that. And I should really know that. I didn't realize I had a daughter. Yeah. So Floyd had a daughter, who's living with, that's where he moved off to. Okay. Well, that's really good. I've never paid that much attention to that particular episode. I need to watch that again. So thank you, Paul, for calling in with that information. It's always, I love finding out stuff like that. Cause that's things, you've just never seen. Cause we've talked about maybe covering some of the Gomer Pyle episodes here on the podcast because, we've covered a lot of Andy Griffith Show stuff, and Gomer Pyle and maybe RFD both have information that can bring more depth to the mythology of the Andy Griffith Show, I guess, or the history of the Andy Griffith Show. So it's definitely always fun to hear. All right, so let's go in here from, I believe this is Tom's up next. So let's hear from Tom.
Good morning, Alan. Tom Fogle here calling from Ohio. just finished listening to or watching Two Chairs episode 680 and could not agree with you more on the watching Andy Griffith just to watch it. Also looking for the inconsistencies or the continuity things. My good friend and I, who are super fans, watch all the time, even compare notes often on the inconsistencies, but it does not affect the way we watch the show. We'd love to just watch it because it's awesome. And also, we were both able to be extras in the Mayberry Man movie, which brought even more attention to how things are made and how things are filmed. So that enhanced our interest in watching for the inconsistencies, but certainly does not affect the way we watch the show. It's always great, and looking forward to more episodes that we can look at those things, but certainly do like the show, and looking forward to the festival and Mayberry meetup this year. So just want to let you know that in total agreement with you on how we watch the show. Thanks. Love the podcast.
Thank you for calling. I really appreciate that. And he was referring to episode number 680. It's called Does Knowing More Change How I Watch? And so that's what he's talking about, because we talked about that. There was the question in that episode was all these things, like we just talked about Gomer Pyle and Floyd living with his daughter. It never was mentioned on the Andy Griffith Show, but it was mentioned there. The windows maybe being different when they were on the soundstage than they were out on the lot at 40 acres. And the fact that Floyd's son, though it sounds like he says Randall, it's actually says Randolph in the episode. Does knowing that kind of stuff change the way you watch the episodes? Does it take away? That's what the whole question is about. And he's saying, no, it doesn't. It just adds to the enjoyment. So thank you again for calling in with that information. And let's go on now in here. This is from Andy.
Hey, Alan, this is Andy Nelson, live in the state of Maryland. And my wife and I are going through the series. We're in season 6. She's never watched the color episodes, so, you know, she's enjoying it, but, you know, it's a little different mindset. So, but I was just curious if you had any insight regarding the character of Warren, if they were trying to make him Barney Fife 2.0, because it seems like in season 6, where Warren shows up, that he is has sort of that cocky Barney attitude, and even makes a comment like, you have to wake up pretty early in the morning. So I was curious if any insight if the writers were trying to make Warren Barney-like in an attempt to replace Don Knotts. Just curious what your thoughts were. Thank you. God bless.
Well, thank you very much for writing in or calling in about that, Andy. Myself, yes, I believe that's exactly what they were doing. They had more than likely, at least this has always been my opinion, the episodes were already at least fleshed out or something, because I've always felt like Jack Burns, I've always felt like he just wasn't given much of a chance as Warren Ferguson, because they wrote the episodes and wrote it like it was Barney. I mean, everything from his name, his nickname, instead of being Warren, or instead of saying Warren, they said Warren, like it was Barn. I've always felt like he was never given a good chance to be his own character. Now, he did a great, I personally think he did a decent job, but I've always said that's terrible. Following Don Knotts in a role, they should have made him less bumbling or something, maybe I don't know. I've just always felt bad for him because he didn't last long. Most people didn't particularly embrace the character, but I've always felt like, I don't know. It was just kind of, they didn't write him different. They wrote him like he was Barney. Like you said, Barney 2.0, they didn't really give him a real chance to be in there. So I've always felt really bad for Warren. But yes, I agree with your sentiments there. All right. So we got two more. Let's hear from Mike here.
Hey, Alan, this is Mike Barnett. Been listening for a while and always meant to call and let you know that you ought to reach out to Bruce Fry sometime. He is an avid Andy Griffith Show fan for all of his life and probably right up there in the world of at least the level of knowledge of trivia that maybe some of us lower level people would have. But more importantly, he wrote a song entitled Nip It in the Bud. And it's a song about a fella who watches the Andy Griffith Show way too much. It's really popular. It was big on even the John Boy and Billy Show. I don't know how big that show still is, but I just know that they used to play that a lot. And Bruce is a great guy. He'd be a great guest to have sometime also. And so Bruce Fry, you can find his website. I can also provide you a number for him. Email that to you. If you could get him, that'd be great. And I just thought about that listening to your podcast today about the viewers who watch things and look for all the changes in the set and so forth. So anyway, hope that helps. Might be useful. Take care and keep doing the good work.
Well, thank you, Mike. And yes, I have met Bruce several different times, actually. He's been to Mayberry Days, and I met him at a church here in Huntsville. He was there performing a Sunday morning service, and he had me there as Floyd. And his song, Nip It in the Bud, his name, by the way, if you're looking him up, is Bruce, F-R-Y-E, Fry. Bruce Fry. And there's a YouTube video of that. I'm not going to play it because I'll get in trouble. Hopefully that doesn't trigger anything. But I will have a link for it as well in our show notes so that you'll be able to go and hear that song because it's also a great song. He sings about Barney having a bullet in his front pocket. I mean, it's a great song. It's going to nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud. So it's a great song. And yeah, Bruce is a very nice person. And thanks again for bringing him up. And hopefully some of you folks that are listening may not have ever heard about this and you can go and check it out. Definitely go do that. So our final voicemail is from a fireman. So let's go and hear from him. Oh, wait. Let's try that again because I had the sound turned around. Let's try it again. Here he goes.
Hi, this is Fireman Ted. I just learned about your podcast. It's pretty cool. Thank you for doing it. The one I heard, you mentioned a true or false question for Barney in his first car of $400, which was false. A lot of people think it's $300. It was $297.50. And then Barney donated to Mrs. Lish. Her husband's favorite charity, $2.50. So you forgot to mention that. I've also noticed cool little things on the show. One of them, I can't remember the episode, but Barney says blind as an owl. I'm wondering if he wanted to be a buffoon and say it goofy instead of saying blind as a bat. Also, when he was a real estate agent, if you remember that episode, he was way off with his talking to Andy, you know how much your son cost me last night from bad mouthing your house? Hey, I think it was $3,700, but there's no way it added up to that much for his chunk of it. Also, at the end of that same episode, the real estate convertible hardtop, Barney's talking to Andy about now he's trying to be a car salesman. And he says, Andy, I got a great car for you, a convertible hardtop. And, you know, that doesn't make sense. Do you think Barney was trying to be goofy? Did the director and the guys that wrote it put those words in, or did Barney get mixed up? I'm just curious your take on it. Also, my wife has been watching and just loving it too. How about the pickpocket episode when the guy becomes the honorable person of the town one day when Barney is in the hotel room trying to talk the pickpocketer into being a nice person and being trusted, and he sets down his watch. Well, Barney's talking about the keys. I've got the keys to every merchant in the town of Parker. Parker in the town of Mayberry. Look at the pickpocket's facial expressions. They'll die. You just die. It's hilarious. His eyebrows and his lips. He has twitches. It's just killer. We love the show, too. Fireman Ted, thanks. You take care.
Anyway, so Ted, the answer would be, to some of the questions was blind as an owl. That may or may not have been something. I meant to look that up. Blind as an owl. BL. Blind as an owl. I think that is also a saying. It is. So blind as an owl is also, it's synonymous with blind as a bat, but it is also something that it's another term. It's another way of saying the same thing. So no, he wasn't being silly about it, but that was just the actual term. That is another way of saying it, by the way. So let's see, what else did you ask? Oh, the dollar amount. I believe the dollar amount was $3,478 in some sense that Barney saved. Now, that was the commission on all the houses, right? Because he estimates Andy's house is worth $27,500. There's several houses there that had to sell, the Sims house, the Andy's house, all those houses. The total commission for all the homes, as he moved everybody around, would have been $3,478 and whatever he says there. I honestly can't remember. I think that's where the number comes from. So it's not any one particular house. It's all the houses together is where that dollar amount came from. So, let's see. And I can't remember the other questions. Thanks for calling. I really do appreciate everything. The convertible hardtop. Yeah, that was another question. So that is a real thing as well. So a convertible hardtop is where you have a hardtop car that the hardtop actually goes back into the trunk area, or it can just be lifted off and left somewhere. They do make convertible hardtops. So several of those things they're all real things that you can have. They were correct on the show. Convertible hardtop. They have convertible hardtop Jeeps, for instance. There's several different kinds of convertible hardtops, and they still make them. But it's usually a powered, retractable hardtop that would go down into the back of the car. But it's still a convertible. It's just not a soft top convertible. I think that was most of the questions. I tried to write them down as I was listening, but I'm not sure. All right. So I think that's it. I think we got through all of the voicemails. So thanks to everybody who's been calling in and leaving messages for our voicemails. I really do appreciate it. It's always fun to hear from you. Thanks so much to all of you for taking time to do that. And now, before we head into the trivia, let's hear from our sponsor. That's right. Our sponsor each and every week is Weaver's Department Store. Guys, head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and pick up some of the great Mayberry items you'll find over there. They have a brand new thing called Any Old Tramps down there. Well, it's really a artwork of kind of a combination between the Ghost and Mr. Chicken and the Haunted House episode of the Andy Griffith Show. A great piece of artwork. I really think you'll enjoy. It's by Jeff Preston, and we have those at Weaver's, and definitely something you might want to check out. There's a limited supply of them, I think. I don't know if we can get more or not, but head over there and check them out. They're 13 by 19 inches, so they're really, really cool prints, by the way. You can hang it by your Old Man Rimshaw print, and Old Man Rimshaw is actually in the picture as well, so go check that out. While you're over there, check out some of the new Loaded Goat t-shirts. We got some long-sleeve Loaded Goat t-shirts, so if you still like wearing long sleeves, even in the summer to keep from getting sunburned, these have got pockets on the front, so you might want to go and check those out. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. All right, so that's there you go. So now it's time for some trivia. It's trivia time, so let me get our background music going for our trivia. There we go. We got some trivia, so let's go. True or false question. True or false. On the show, the town of Mayberry is located in Tennessee. If you get that wrong, there's a 681 episodes of this podcast you need to go and listen to. On the show, the town of Mayberry is located in Tennessee. True or false? God, I don't even know if I want to give you the answer. If you don't know the answer, I'm going to just leave you. But the answer is, that's false. That's false. Who said Jack Egbert was no prize? Who said Jack Egbert was no prize? Who said that? Y'all had to know that Mayberry's in North Carolina, right? All right. Who said Jack Egbert was no prize? Barney said that. Barney Fife said that. Number three. Who was Andy's high school sweetheart? Oh, that's a good one. Who was Andy's high school sweetheart? You got to think about that one. This is a good one. Big fish in a small pond. Who was Andy's high school sweetheart? The answer, Sharon Despain. One of the great natural romances of all time. All right. Okay. Who said Hello, Doll? Okay. Who said that? I'm going to give you multiple choice because you may not know the name because you want the name. Who said Hello, Doll? Was it Thelma Lou? Was it Skippy? Was it Daphne? Or was it Julie? Who said Hello, Doll? Was it Thelma Lou, Skippy, Daphne, or Julie? Okay, so how did you do on this one? This one's a little hard for some people, I believe. But the answer is Hello, Doll. That would have been Daphne. Daphne was the fun girl that said that. Daphne. All right, so that's number, that's four. Okay, true or false? At first, Barney didn't think Helen was right for Andy. True or false? At first, Barney didn't think Helen was right for Andy. Is that true or false? Okay. Last read. At first, Barney didn't think Helen was right for Andy. The answer to that is that's true. That's true. Oh, come on. She didn't know how to cook or anything. All right. This is another one you have to get correct or go back and listen to all 681 previous episodes of this podcast. Question number six. What cousin of Andy's was also a deputy sheriff? What cousin of Andy's was also a deputy sheriff? All right. I'm going to read it one more time and tell you the answer because you have to know this. What cousin of Andy's was also a deputy sheriff? The answer is Barney. It's Barney. Barney is his cousin. Remember? All right. Number seven. Where did the Hubraker brothers live? This is a good question. Where did the Hubraker brothers live? All right, the Hubraker brothers. I may be saying it wrong. That's going to mess you up. Where did the Hubraker brothers live? The answer, they lived in state prison, remember? All right, number eight, final question. Who does Floyd say, quote, sits real tall in the chair, end quote. Who does Floyd say, quote, sits real tall in the chair? Was it Andy, Barney, Opie, or Howard? Who did Floyd say sits real tall in the chair? He sits real tall in the chair. Was it Andy, Barney, Opie, or Howard? Oh, he sits real tall in the chair. That would be Andy. Andy is who Floyd said. All right, so how'd you do? That's eight questions. Eight questions. How did you do? All right. Hope you did well. Hope you had fun. That's the main thing, right? We're just having fun. These are for fun. All right, guys, now we're going to head over and hear from Spirit Walker with Returning to Mayberry.
Won't you turn on the Andy Griffith Show? Forget all your cares and woes. Sit back, relax. relax and laugh with friendly folks you know. Take up your fishing pole.
Welcome to Returning to Mayberry with special correspondent Spirit Walker from the Andy Griffith Show Esquire Club.
Thanks, Randy. Hello, Mayberry Spirit Watchers. Welcome to the Esquire Club, where we are conducting an experiment to take something from Mayberry, a person, place, or thing, remove it from Mayberry, connect it to something, connect that to something else, until within 6 degrees, we have something returning to Mayberry. We then take that something that returned to Mayberry, connect it to something else within Mayberry, take that out, and continue ad infinitum. Now, the last thing we had returning to Mayberry was the music of the Andy Griffith Show, composed by Earl Hagen. So let's begin with him and go from there. Earl Hagen composed more than 3,000 songs for a multitude of television shows besides the Andy Griffith Show. Here are just a few of them. Gomer Pyle, USMC, That Girl, The Mod Squad, The Dick Van Dyke Show, and most famously, he composed the music for I Spy, for which he won a Grammy. Now, Earl Hagen composed the Andy Griffith theme in only 1 hour. He then hired a rhythm combo and went into the studio that evening and recorded it all in 1 day. Hagen himself did the whistling, and his 11-year-old son Dean provided the finger snaps. Besides the opening theme, though, he also composed music for different characters. Now, everyone will remember the Manhunt theme, which was featured in the second episode of Season 1, but it became Barney's theme in Episode 20 of Season 1, and from then on it was played whenever Barney did anything heroic. Now, if you want to hear more about Earl Hagen's amazing musical feats on the Andy Griffith Show, you need to go back and watch, or listen, to episode 370 of Two Chairs No Waiting, because Alan Newsom does an outstanding job covering Earl Hagen's career. But let me tell you something. You have to watch it. You have to watch it to appreciate Alan Newsom's amazing talents as a podcaster. It's a must watch. Two thumbs up, Alan. Great episode. 370. Hagen also wrote a theme for a cast member who left the show almost 2 years before she even heard that the theme had been written for her. Of course, I'm talking about the lovely Eleanor Donahue, who played Ellie Walker, Andy's first love interest, in 12 episodes of Season 1. In a performance in Kingsport, Tennessee in 1998, Miss Donahue told the story about hearing the beautiful Ellie's theme for the first time. She said that it moved her and reminded her just how marvelous the music was on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, you can watch that performance on episode 632 of Two Chairs No Waiting and see Ellie say it herself. Contrary to popular belief, Donahue was not forced off the show, nor did she quit because she and Andy didn't get along. She left because she had just finished a 6-year run of 196 episodes of Father Knows Best, and then went straight into another sitcom. She was tired and didn't think she fit in well with the role of Ellie Walker. She was romantically involved at the time with a successful television producer and wanted to get married, raise a family, and give show business a rest for a while. Her soon-to-be husband was executive producer Harry Ackerman. Ackerman and Donahue married in 1962. Ackerman adopted her son from a previous marriage, and they had 3 sons of their own. Their firstborn was Peter K. Ackerman, known as Ellie's boy in the Two Chairs No Waiting chat room. He's probably in there right now if you're listening to this live, so hello to Peter. Harry Ackerman was known as the producer of some great shows. In fact, he was instrumental in getting I Love Lucy on the air in the first place. He produced a lot of shows, but I'll mention only a few highlights. He produced 20 episodes of Leave It to Beaver, 76 episodes of Dennis the Menace, 154 episodes of Hazel, 82 episodes of The Flying Nun, and 254 episodes, that's all, of Bewitched. Now, I recently had the privilege of talking to Peter K. Ackerman on the phone the other day, And Peter, of course, is the oldest son of Harry Ackerman and Eleanor Donahue. He told me that while he was growing up, they were very close to another family called the Ashers, William and Elizabeth Asher. They were so close, in fact, he called them Uncle Bill and Aunt Liz. It was William Asher and his wife, Elizabeth Montgomery, the star of Bewitched. Now, Peter told me the story of him going to a Rams game with Aunt Liz, and as they walked back to the car, Peter asked her if she would do her famous nose twitch for him, the one she's famous for on Bewitched. He said she gave him a rather stern look and told him to not say anything more about it until they got to the car. Once they were in the limo, she told him that she doesn't do the nose twitch in public. She only does it on the show, never for anybody personally outside of the show. That being said, she did acquiesce and tell him that she would do it for him one time if he would promise to never mention it again. He promised, and she did it. Imagine that. He got to see Samantha Stevens do her famous nose twitch up close and personal. How cool is that? Of course, she turned him into an Episcopal priest in Lodi, California. So, you take the good with the bad. Peter, this tie is for you, my brother. Bewitched ran for 8 seasons, and one of the memorable characters it produced was Dr. Bombay, played by Bernard Fox. Fox appeared 19 times on the show, but he was also known for playing Colonel Crittenden in 8 episodes of Hogan's Heroes. Tags fans, of course, remember him as the gentleman's gentleman, Malcolm Merriweather, in 3 episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. So the circle is complete. From Earl Hagen's music to Andy's first love in Mayberry. From Eleanor Donahue to husband Harry Ackerman. From Ackerman to Bewitched star Elizabeth Montgomery. From Montgomery to Bernard Fox, and back to Mayberry as Malcolm Merriweather. So there you have it. From Andy's Dazzler to the Bobby Dazzler, everything returns to Mayberry. And if you have any links you'd like to share with me, contact me at the Andy Griffith Show Esquire Club. I'll be glad to hear from you. Until next time, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. And keep spreading that Mayberry spirit. I thank you.
It's so fine to spend some time with all these dear old friends of mine. Have a bottle of pop. Come on, let's watch the Andy Griffith Show.
All right. Thank you, Spirit Walker, and what a great job. If you want to make sure you're not missing out on what he's doing, or if you want to contact him, you can head over to facebook.com/groups/TAGS Esquire Club. That's the name of it. The link is in the show notes for this episode, so you'll be able to see that. And wow, congratulations to Peter. I didn't know that, but Peter, Miss Ellie's boy, is often in our chat room on Monday nights, and you could join us as well if you head over to live.2chairsnowaiting.com on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're normally in there. Right now, there are about 32 folks in there. And Peter is in the chat room, and he's even got a book he's working on. So just, it's not ready yet. So we'll let you know more as that actually is available. I think that is all we have for you this week. I want to thank Spirit Walker for being here with me. I want to thank all of the folks that called in as well. It's always great to hear from you guys. I would love to hear from you. You could give me a call at 888-684-8415. And if you don't want to call and talk, you can email me, and eventually I will get to those emails as well, because we have several to deal with. We may be doing those in the next few weeks here. But definitely would love to hear from you. You can give me a call or email me, or just drop by the website, and there's all kinds of information there about how to get in touch with me as well. Friends, thanks for being here in Mayberry. Let's have a great Mayberry week. Until we meet back here together again next week on Two Chairs. Have a great week, everybody.